After the service, most of the mourners moved on to the gathering at Betty's house. I hung back, watching as the crowd shuffled away from her graveside. I found a spot by a tall pine tree that was far enough from any of the knots of people hugging or smoking that I wouldn't get drawn into a conversation. A white-haired man in a rumpled black suit who looked to be in his early 80s squinted at me over the rims of his glasses. He stared at me for a few seconds before shaking his head and moving on. I didn't know him, but maybe he had seen me around in the old days. I bowed my head, which made me fit in just fine in the circumstances, and everyone else filed past without comment. I recognized a few faces, all of them older and sadder. Nobody I felt like talking to in particular. And then I saw a familiar face. Karen Day's mother, Lauren. She looked in good health. I hadn't been back to Ravenwood in more than 20 years. I hadn't thought much about the place in almost as long. Only one thing could have brought me back, and unfortunately that one thing had happened. I didn't intend to linger, just stay long enough to pay my respects. But it was a crisp and cloudless late November day, and I felt an unexpected urge to hang around a little longer. Perhaps it was the funeral, perhaps it was being back in a place I had put down roots once upon a time. I was parked a couple of streets down from the church, and I took a circuitous route back to the car, partly to avoid the crowds, partly because it would take me past the house where I used to live. 42 Hemlock Road was still there, though I knew Betty had long since moved to the small apartment where she died. The house had weathered the years well. The lawn was neatly kept, the paint job looked fresh. A shiny red kid's bicycle was lying on its side at the line where the grass met the sidewalk, its owner clearly having no cause to worry about passing thieves. There was a love seat hanging from the lilac tree out in the front yard, a new addition. When I looked closer, I could just make out a frayed gray loop of rope curled around the thickest branch from the tire swing I had hung there a lifetime ago. I wondered if I was the only one of Betty's kids to come back for the funeral. It had been pure chance I had happened to read about her passing. I guess the rest of them were out there somewhere. I had never formed any lasting friendships with any of the others she fostered. The only person I ever occasionally thought about from my Ravenwood days was Karen Day, the lost girl. I took a last look at the house and headed back down the hill toward Main Street. I was passing Dino's Diner, reaching into my pockets for the car keys, when I heard a name being called, a name I hadn't gone by in 20 years. I turned and saw Karen Day's mother standing in the doorway of Dino's, holding the door open. Lauren Day had to be in her mid-60s by now, but was wearing it well. Her brown hair showed only a few streaks of gray. She was slim and had a narrow face, only a few lines around her eyes. She was dressed for the occasion. Dark pants, black shoes, and a white blouse. No coat, so I guessed she had come out of the diner just to see me. I turned and retraced my steps. I hesitated over the appropriate greeting, then she pulled me in for a hug, kissing me lightly on the cheek. "I thought that was you," she said. "Are you staying in town?" I shook my head. "Just here for the funeral." "It was a lovely service," she said. "People always say that, though, don't they?" She was still holding the door open. "Do you have time to get a coffee?" I hesitated, but made my mind up when I saw the hope in her eyes. What harm could it do? We went inside and sat down in a booth by the window, and I ordered a black coffee. Lauren already had a full cup of Earl Grey in front of her.
"It was good of you to come. We tried to get in touch with all of the kids, but..."
"Hard to find some people," I said. "I saw the obituary in the Times." It had been the first time I had picked up a physical newspaper in months. The previous customer had left it on the table at one of my regular breakfast places. She smiled. Betty wouldn't have minded. It was enough for her to know she had made some kind of difference.